Okay, who among us from our many and various backgrounds are able to summon the energy, the imagery, and the breath to overcome the reigning money culture, which has saturated American culture and made us feel complacent and satisfied and created new elites for the past, since the age of Reagan in this country? Who among us from our many and various backgrounds has that energy and imagery to summon? And that's my question to all of you.
That's poetry, man. That question is poetry.
Get the mic. Who must answer?
It's a big question. I don't know if anyone would step up. I mean, do you?
I try.
That's the thing. We all try. I don't know if... And it shouldn't be on any one person's shoulders. I mean, it's just way too big to stand on anyone's shoulders.
Well, he didn't say that.
Right.
See, I think we got to work on our critical faculties, too, at the same time we're... Yeah, we gotta like think more clearly and like understand the way the mind works and stuff. And I mean, we're relying on making these generalizations without experience or experiment, you know. And we're our minds are atrophying. So I mean, what he said was who among us? That could be us. I mean, that's what he's saying, you know, poetically. See, the energy of poetry is a different kind of energy.
You know?
The energy of poetry is a field of energy. It causes a vibration, which also taps into the collective unconscious, you know. So, like, words and prose, poetry tends to lose its purely symbolic forms, and also in the great traditions of poetry, like the Chinese, where you have concepts of using words to get beyond words, you know. So you can do almost anything, you know. I think about what language can do with time. We only have our time sense because of language. We couldn't think about time, organize time, without tense and so forth, like and be able to predict the future in a way, you know.
Well, I mean, I kind of take issue with the idea that everybody's complacent, satisfied, because I don't believe that. I think people, it's an alienation culture, and it's intentional, and it is part of the information overload and that fatigue. So, in terms of having the energy to deal with it, and, you know, coming back to the idea of the marginalization of poetry, I mean, I know so many poets who... you know, they meet people, they don't say, hey, I'm a poet. I mean, and we're alive, by the way.
yeah, well, that means that they understand what I mean, too. I mean, that, you know, they're not going to mention it because they don't want to be killed.
But I just remember this reading about the poet Ted Berrigan, who would be on an airplane next to someone who sold tires overseas, and he would be flying to some poetry reading, and he, when people asked what he did, he said, I'm a poet, and he always said it was the greatest job in the world, and people were always kind of intrigued and surprised about that. And, you know, I think to a degree, it's, you know, it's a self-image problem with a lot of people, because how they define themselves is where they get their greatest income, and, you know, that's really not what people think of themselves, who they really are, but it's always what they lead with.
I think the American public is whatever. Not into poetry because they're not getting any poetry. What the shit that is being presented as poetry, all it is chopped up prose. There's no, in other words, like there's no traditional cultural or ethnic, you know, elements where the average American worker person, ethnic person, a citizen would say, that's poetry. Why is it poetry? Because it has rhyme, it has music, it has a tone and a colloquial energy to it that you know starts to fire the nerve endings in their brains and their memories and stuff like that, and that's why the American public feels the way it does about poetry. Let's hypothetically say, because it's not hearing any poetry where it's concerned. It's not getting any poetry.
Time for one last question from the audience. Ebony?
I didn't have a question. I guess I had like a series of comments I can try to keep brief. I want to thank Adam and Deborah and the whole organization of PAP for having this symposium. It's bringing people together that are never going to be in the same room. I'm one of the few people that goes to like lots of different kinds of poetry things, and I know that when I go to that thing, I'm not going to see all these people in the same room again. And I don't know why entirely that is, but it does happen. Ms. Wise is saying something about not having connections with people in the room or something. Something like that.
I know she didn't.
Huh?
I didn't.
I was saying how we don't have enough connections in the whole poetry community. Like everybody, I think it needs to be more of like, you should know. I should know about everybody at this table. I think at least three of them.
Yeah,
or two, or whatever.
Yeah. So to speak to that, which will sound like a shameless plug, but it's not supposed to be. I'm on Facebook. And even Frank Walsh, who acts like he's anti-technology, is on Facebook too. And most of the panelists and like half this audience are my Facebook friends. So if you want to connect with each other, you can go on my own Facebook page, I guess.
We gotta use jujitsu to get that technology to do what we want it to do. If you look at Facebook, you know, it's basically the people are getting away from just like small talk, and you know, there's a whole community in St. Augustine that I think it's great that Facebook exists because of artists and like radicals that are starting to mix with what's going on here and us people up here are mixing with them, okay? So and just like with MySpace, to me MySpace should be used as a giant electric billboard for what we want to accomplish and build getting in touch beside the like abstract connection and marketing and or a small talk, and so you're right. And you know the thing is that I got stubborn because my Philadelphia Wireless connection, I watched it, free Philadelphia Wireless. I watched it be taken away from me, and my computer infected. Okay, when I first came back, and I contacted the community institutions are supposed to help in situations like that for poll people, right? And then it just got worse. Like the People's Emergency Center. So there's just like so many issues, but they all are connected. So we got to use our technology. You can't let the technology, which is run by the market, or owned by the market. See, this is why this is important. This guy's important. Okay, good catch, Adam. See that? And I challenge all poets and the panel to the Nikola Tesla Inventors Club. Wants to have an anthology on alternate energy, Tesla technology, Tesla science, you know, which is all about free independent energy for all humanity. That's why they blew up his laboratory in Long Island in 1909, and there he is with one of his dynamos in Colorado. So I'm here to challenge us all to write poetry. An anthology is going to be coming out next spring of poetry about this particular subject, and tune in to more information from Serbia, by Serbian publishers. So it'll be an international thing, and the president of the club, Nikola Lončar, wanted me to challenge us. I mean, and I'm challenged all the time. I'm a challenged person.
You are.
All right. Thank you. Nikola Tesla.
Thank you everyone for coming.
One more thing. Yeah. So this is the time to plug an event. If you want to plug an event.
New Philadelphia Poets, Sunday night at Germ Bookstore at 8 p.m.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday, yes, not today, but the following Sunday. Germ Bookstore, Frankfurt Avenue, we'll be doing a reading.
Other events?
I think I'll be alive.
What are you hosting now?
I'm hosting Just Words. Yeah, Just Words is every Thursday. Please, it gets a good crowd, but I'm ready for a different crowd, you know? And it's 1310 North Broad Street.
Late at night.
Yeah, it's 9 p.m. to 1 a.m., so it's a late night thing, but I'm hosting this Thursday. Please come out whenever you can. Every Thursday. Yeah, and I'll be hosting this Thursday.
Where's it at?
1310 North Broad Street. From 9 p.m.
Oh, to the Arts Garage?
Broad what?
Broad and Thomas. No, it's right around the corner from the Arts Garage.
Okay. Thompson.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll plug myself. November 21st at the Chapter House, I'm reading with Tamara Betts and Paul Siegel at the Chapter House. You should come on out.
Next Saturday, the 14th, I'll be reading at the Queer Literary Festival at the Big Blue Marble Bookstore in Mount Airy. And please, if you have any events, go to phillypoetry.com and add them to the calendar. If you can figure it out, my email is there. Email them to me, and I'll happily add them to the calendar.
What is your email?
It's archmemory, archmemory, at gmail.com.
Okay.
And then so next month's symposium will be on venues, particularly the aesthetic of venues. And stay tuned for who's going to be on that as well. And if you're interested in, we could use one more person, I think, for helping us, yes?
We would
love one more person to help us organize these.
Oh, to help us organize it. So, for the panel itself.
If you're interested. Anyways, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right.